Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody. And this is my first time at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. So I guess that means I got to preach extra hard, right? I got to make up for lost time. But I do want to thank Pastor Jimenez and Brother Oliver and just the Verity Baptist Church for all the accommodations. I've actually known Pastor Jimenez since 2009. We went on a camping trip with Faithful Word, and I threw him off a rock and ripped his shirt. I think Pastor Anderson actually took off his toenail or something like that, so I think he won that battle. But it is true. His wife, when we went out, when was that, 2013 or something like that, we went soul winning all week, and I got sick at the end of it. And the Jimenez family, I mean, when you talk about giving the hospitality, the Jimenez family is giving the hospitality. And they did take care of me. And then we came back in 2015, and my wife was pregnant with our first, and then she had morning sickness. So I don't know what it is about coming out to California and getting sick or whatever, but I just want to, it's an honor to be up here, and it's obviously a thrill to preach before you today. And so I'm going to be preaching a sermon called Mark Them. Mark Them. Now look at verse 17 there. So Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now mark them. You may ask, what does that entail? What does that mean? Well, when I look at my notes here, I marked them up, meaning I underlined things, I highlighted certain things. When we're talking about marking somebody, we're highlighting somebody, you know. And so when it comes to marking somebody, if you're vague about it, then how's someone going to know what you're even talking about? For example, Jesus marked certain groups of people and certain people by name. So he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and of Herod." And he called out Herod. And when it comes to marking groups of people, specifically in this case, we're dealing with false doctrine. False doctrine. So we're marking them which cause divisions and offenses, not just divisions and offenses, okay? Because the Bible, Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but division." Right. So it's not like division is just bad. Actually, division is very good. The thing is that, but if you're causing division contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, contrary to good doctrine, right. And so we need to mark them and avoid them. So if you think about the Pharisees, remember Jesus said, "Let them alone." But he didn't just, like, not speak about them, though. When he says let them alone, it doesn't mean, like, well, don't talk about them. Don't talk bad about them. No, there's a whole chapter, Matthew 23, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, where Jesus says multiple times, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" He calls them a generation of vipers. And when it comes to, he calls them vipers, he calls them different animals, he calls Herod a fox. Because of the attributes that are likened unto a fox, right? Or likened unto a serpent, or likened unto dogs. And I'm going to be getting into different things that we should mark. People we should mark, groups we should mark. And ultimately, we need to avoid them. But that doesn't mean that we don't call them out. We don't say that, hey, they're wicked, they're wrong. But in order for someone to avoid something, you kind of have to make it clear what you're avoiding, right? I mean, if I got up here and said, "Hey, listen, stay away from evil people," you'd be like, "Okay. Who, though? Who's evil?" Now, when it comes to why we want to mark and avoid it, because there's people out there, notice what it says in verse 18, what's their end game? Why are they preaching false doctrine? Why are they, contrary and trying to basically teach false doctrine? It says in verse 18, it says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, the simple are those that basically are simple concerning knowledge, right? I mean, the Bible talks about not being simple, and we're in this case we're talking about being like simple-minded. And I'm from West Virginia, and there's a lot of tropes about West Virginia. Okay, I have shoes. These are my real teeth. But there's a lot of tropes in West Virginia, and some tropes are unfortunately kind of true, where people take pride in being simple-minded. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a simple person, right? You know, raising a family, working hard, and just providing for your family and living a simple life, right? But being simple-minded is nothing to be proud of or to be pleased with yourself. Because I remember growing up, I went to college, I got an engineering degree, and not that I was like boasting about that to some people, but they would basically get offended at that and be like, well, you know, they were taking pride in the fact that they didn't know a lot about certain subjects. I'm just like, why would that be something that you'd be proud of? And it's not like I'm attacking people because they don't have, you know, knowledge in certain areas, but the idea is that we should all want to gain knowledge. But how much more in doctrine? So the first step to know, hey, we need to mark people that preach false doctrine is knowing this: there are people that preach false doctrine. There are false teachers out there. And go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Find my water here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. I think the first step is realize that there are people out there like this. And maybe more common than you think, more prevalent than you think. Verse 1 here, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." So notice that he's stating there were false prophets. I mean, you think of Balaam, you think of other people in the Old Testament that were false prophets, the prophets of Baal, all that stuff. There were false prophets back then, but know this, is that there shall be false teachers among you. So know this, is that there are false teachers among us who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So these people exist, and they're bringing in privily. What's privily mean? It means like privately or kind of unknowingly, unawares. They're bringing in this damnable heresy. And when it comes to false doctrine, obviously we can preach against the Catholic Church, and we can preach against Mormonism, and preach against Jehovah's Witnesses, and I think that that's all good, okay? But when it comes to false doctrine, to me, the more damnable doctrine is the ones that are closer to the truth. Let me give you an example. Repent of your sins for salvation. That one, I don't know why, it just really just makes me angry, that one, because it's in a lot of Baptist churches these days. There is a spectrum when people say repent of your sins, meaning there's some people that say, well, when I say repent of your sins, I mean you have to admit you're a sinner. It's like, okay, well, I agree with what you just said, but that's not what repent of your sins means, right? Learn what words mean and stop using that phrase. But there are people, though, that are on that terminal side when it comes to that phrase, repent of your sins, okay? And those people need to be marked and avoided, okay? Now, this may ruffle some feathers, but there's someone that's close to where I live in Maryland named Stacy Shiflett that I'm going to name by name because I believe he's a damnable heretic.
That's right. Preach it.
Now, when it comes to what he means about repent of your sins, it is clearly that you have to stop sinning. You have to, I was going this way. I have to repent and go this way when it comes to my sins. That's damnable heresy. And that guy is a damnable heretic. Now, you can disagree with me, but listen, when you find out later on and you say, hey, Pastor Robinson was right, just remember that I marked him for you. You know, I highlighted that guy right there. But here's the problem. He's the pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church that a lot of saved people are probably attending. I'm not here to say that everybody in that church is unsaved, but that's the problem. And when it comes to marking those that preach damnable heresy, listen, if we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
You know what that means? Let him go to hell.
Amen.
And you say, why did you get so upset at that? Because people are going to hell because of that doctrine.
Amen.
And you know, that needs to be marked, that needs to be avoided. But in order to do that, you've got to be more specific. The Bible talks about the fact that to write the vision and make it plain so that he that readeth, he may run that readeth. Meaning this is kind of like if I don't make it plain, you're going to walk around like, okay, I need to do something. Where do I go? And I don't know exactly what direction to go. Who am I going to? Who am I running from? Right? If I'm saying avoid somebody, you need to run away from that person, you're like, well, who? So you gotta know some more specifics. Now, obviously, you can be general in the fact that, hey, the Church of Christ is bad, the Church of Latter-day Saints is bad, you know, and you can just be really general because, listen, that is bad. But when it comes to the more specific stuff, that's where we need to step in and mark that. And listen, as preachers, I believe it's our job to protect the flock from wolves. That is part of our job. Part of our job is to teach doctrine, obviously, to feed the flock, but it's also our job to fend off the wolves, to point out the wolf and say, hey, there's the wolf over there. Stay away from them. And why? Because they're trying to deceive the hearts of the simple. It's not that when I look at like someone like Stacy Shiflett or Ray Comfort or Paul Washer, and you say, well, why do you name these guys? Because a lot of people, I mean, I don't want to ask you to raise hands, but I almost guarantee there's people in this room right now that would say, hey, I used to listen to Paul Washer. I used to listen to Ray Comfort. You know, I used to, you know, get sucked into that doctrine. And when it comes to these guys, they're beguiling unstable souls. It says even in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, in heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. We're talking about people that I'm not afraid of Ray Comfort or Paul Washer like influencing me. Does that make sense? I'm not like, oh man, I better just watch out. I don't want to watch too much of his preaching. I might actually agree with him. Like, I'm not worried about that, but you know what I am worried about? Someone else that maybe is a babe in Christ and that or someone that's maybe in between a babe in Christ and being fully mature to where they can get sucked in the false doctrine. I think about when that oneness stuff came out years ago. And we were, I was just starting Mountain Baptist Church and all that. And I'd heard of oneness, but it was kind of one of those things where it was more in that Pentecostal realm. You didn't really hear about it in the Baptist realm. And I just was baffled by how many people got sucked into it. That some people got back on track, and as soon as they were shown, hey, that's wrong, the Trinity's right, they got back on track with it. But I was kind of baffled on how many people got sucked into it, and it just shows you that there is false doctrine that will beguile saved people, and you know we need to be careful to make sure we mark that. Now, when it comes to these people, they are trying to gain, you know, they're covetous, they want money, they're trying to gain clout because they want power. The Bible says that they speak these great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage.
Yeah.
Right? They're basically preaching this so they can get an advantage, so they can get power, they can get influence, so that they can ultimately have power and money. The love of money is the root of all evil, and that's obviously what they're going after. Now, in order to mark those that are teaching damnable heresies, you need to know good doctrine to do that.
Right?
I mean, how do you mark somebody is teaching falsely if you don't know what the right way is. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. There's a lot of preachers out there that are pastoring Baptist churches, but they don't mark any false doctrine. They don't mark certain people when it comes to false doctrine. And I think part of it is that they're afraid. I mean, there's cases where there's fear involved. Or, you know, well, maybe I'll be exiled from my college fraternity. You know, I think there's some of that stuff that goes on. But I think a lot of it just has to do with they don't know good doctrine. They don't have doctrine down pat. They don't actually know the doctrine well. Right? When you think about repenting of your sins or whatever, they don't know that doctrine that well. Even if you were to get into stuff that's not damnable, but it's still false doctrine, like the pre-trib rapture, for example, a lot of times they just don't know that doctrine. They've been taught it, they've been parroted the points that they've heard, but they never actually delved in and looked at that doctrine. Usually when they do, they're like, there's problems. And then they don't want to admit that they're wrong. But know this, is that in Hebrews chapter 5, for example, it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For he that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those that are mature, that can handle the strong meat, they can discern between good and evil, and it's nothing wrong with being a babe. But listen, if you're a pastor of a church and you're a babe, there's something wrong. You ought to be a teacher, but you need to get some milk. And you're not able to discern between good and evil. You're not able to discern between good doctrine and bad doctrine because you haven't read. You haven't actually learned that doctrine yourself. And a pastor should know good doctrine. He should not be a novice when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 here says, For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So notice, Jesus says to let them alone, and it's not saying, basically don't hang around them, don't try to, you know, basically pal up with them. But listen, their mouths must be stopped. Right. And it's by sound doctrine that you're going to stop the mouths of the gainsayers. But you need to know sound doctrine. But here's how do you know it? By holding fast the faithful word. By reading the Bible. When there's pastors out there that have never read the Bible cover to cover, that's insanity to me. But if they've only read it one time cover to cover, that's also insanity to me. Like, I can't imagine getting up here and confidently preaching the Word of God and only reading through the Bible one time. No, you need to be reading through that Bible scores of times. You need to be you're going through that Bible multiple times throughout the year. And listen, I'm not stopping now. Because listen, I forget stuff, just like everybody else. And so even if you've read through the Bible scores of times, that's not like time to be like, all right, I've done my duty. I'm reading through the Bible. No, you need to constantly be reading through the Bible. You know, give us this day our daily bread, and we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. On a daily basis, we should be reading God's word. Right. And listen, you know why I believe the new IB has salvation so crystal clear? Because we go soul winning. And when you go soul winning, and you're preaching the gospel week in, week out, multiple times when you go out, listen, you don't come away thinking anything other than it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Right. You're just constantly reminded, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right, week in, week out, that, hey, salvation is by the grace of God through faith. It's not of works. You can't lose your salvation. And when someone tries to come up to be like, but, you know, do you think you have to do this or that? No, not at all. It's ingrained in your mind, and it's no marvel to me that our movement is the clearest on the gospel. But let's note that we don't stop soul winning. Because the fruit of the righteous is the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I don't think it's an accident that the New IP has the best doctrine. And you're like, you're biased. It's just facts. Listen, our movement has the best doctrine in any Baptist churches that are in the world right now. And you know why that is? I believe the reason that is because we do the work. Now, that's not saying that there aren't other Baptist churches out there going soul winning. But listen, the fire of soul winning in this movement is unmatched. I believe, personally. It's unmatched. And so when it comes to sound doctrine, notice that those by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Use it, God will give you more. If you stop using it, if we want to be, listen, if all the pastors in our movement were to just be like, you know what, I'm going to stop soul winning, and I just want to learn more, and I want to get more knowledge, and I just want to be Dr. Fatbottom sitting on my ivory tower, and just want to just know all this stuff, and we can just go around debating people about it. If we did that, you know what would happen? All our knowledge would go downhill. I believe God would allow us to forget a whole bunch of stuff, and that our doctrine would go down the drain. We start slipping into Reformed Baptist stuff or something. I don't know. God forbid. God forbid that we'd ever slip into some kind of Calvinist stuff. So, now, you know, and there's so much to hit on when it comes to false doctrine. But listen, marking somebody isn't just limited to damnable heretics, though. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I think about church discipline, for example, when it comes to sins that are committed with brethren. And you kind of have, in order to not eat with somebody, in order to basically kick someone out of church, you kind of have to know who it is, right? Or that's not going to make any sense, right? Well, there's someone here that's not going to be able to come until they get this right. Well, who is it? And then you're like, what'd they do? Like, what's, like, you have to be more specific on what's going on. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Now, note that man, it's very similar to marking them, right? I mean, noting them, kind of like making it known. Like, how are you going to take a note down on somebody if you don't know who it is? But it says, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. That's the whole point of church discipline, is that you don't company with them, they're ashamed, so they'll get back and get right with God and come back into the fold. The whole purpose of church discipline is for reconciliation. But they have to get right with God. They have to get that sin right in order for them to come back to the fold. But it says in verse 15, yet count them not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, and by the way, the Bible says this about that. This is not like, well, you hate your brother because you're noting him and you're not having company with him. No, this is out of love. The Bible says in Leviticus, that dreaded Leviticus, Leviticus 19 and verse 17, it says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Amen. So notice how actually it's loving to rebuke your brother. And know this, is that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the friend is going to be like, hey, listen, this is going to destroy you. You know, I have, unfortunately, I have in-laws, or I have brother-in-law, sister-in-law that are into methamphetamine to the point where they can't even take care of the children. And you know, one could be like, oh, you know, let's just like be supportive of them. No, they need to be pointed out that, hey, that's wrong. You need to get that right, or you're gonna lose your kids. Two, you're either gonna go to prison or you're gonna die, or maybe both. But you know what? It's not loving to basically just be like, well, here's the syringe, so you don't get so you don't get an infection. Am I stepping on toes out here in California? I don't think it's just California, though. I think other cities, I mean, Morgantown, where I work, like, they were trying to put in, you know, hey, let's give them the syringes because we don't want them to get diseases and all this stuff. It's like, that's not the answer. You're like, but they'll die. Listen, enabling people to do sin is not right. It's actually wicked. And so when it comes to brethren, listen, there's time to note brethren that are in sin that need to get it right. And it's not because we hate them, because we love them, we want them to get right. Now, go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 3. So we saw that we need to mark false prophets. We need to mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. The key there is what you have learned. So in order to mark them, you need to learn the doctrine. Let me get into some more controversial things that we need to mark. I think there's a film that's going to be played tomorrow. So this kind of works really good with this. And there was a fag in here earlier, like last night, apparently. So when it comes to marking people, notice what it says here in verse 17. So Philippians 3 and verse 17, it says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Now, before we go on with that, what you have to understand is that something was stated before this in order for him to say, mark them which walk so, right? It's kind of like, mark them which walk thusly, you know, kind of like this. Like what, though, right? So in verse, go back to verse 1 of the chapter. Because when you're reading through this, there's kind of like this interlude where Paul's really getting into the fact of like, hey, I'm saved by faith, and, you know, I want to know Christ, and there's all that good information right there. But it's kind of like an interlude of how this chapter started. This chapter starts off here in verse 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me is indeed not grievous, but for you it is safe. Notice this. This is safe for you to hear this. This is not grievous for me to say this to you. This is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, when it says beware of dogs, we're not talking about Fido. We're not talking about my two wiener dogs at home that are pretty much little squirrels. We're talking about people. Okay? Now, it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, when it comes to dogs, go to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. Beware of dogs. Now, when it comes to marking people, I'm sick and tired of people like Steven Crowder saying that churches don't actually call stuff out. Yeah. Well, maybe you should stop going to Methodist churches and like these non-denom liberal churches out there. And maybe you probably need to get saved on top of that. Yeah. But the thing is that when I just heard him recently be like, yeah, the church has failed. The church doesn't call out anything. They never address these things like trans stuff or whatever. It's like, well, you haven't come to any of our churches. You're like, well, you know, we don't hear it because we're all banned. That's why. Because we're all blacklisted on Facebook. I mean, this literally, the only way you can hear this sermon right now is by going to a website called Banned But Not Bound. Because the Word of God is not bound. And listen, when it comes to this truth, it's going to get out. But listen, there are churches that are preaching this, and it is few and far between, but it is happening, and we need to continue to do it. And other churches need to follow step in this. Beware of dogs. We're talking about sodomites, my friend. We're talking about the queers. We're talking about the fags. The homos. The LGBTQAARP. The alphabet community. Whatever you want to call these freaks, these filthy animals, that's what they are, and they need to be marked, they need to be avoided, they need to be highlighted that these are evil beasts, stay away from them, beware of them. And churches today are afraid to even say the word sodomite. It's like they come to the word and they're just like, oh, that's a bad word. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17 says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both they are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Amen. Now, you know, people are like, well, you know, you're equating dog with sodomite. Listen, I could probably bring up any four-year-old and read these two sentences and say, which ones match? And they would figure it out. Whore goes with whore. Sodomite, a little stumped on this one. It goes with dog. Now, when people are just like, well, you know, what sodomites do, you know, dogs do that too. You know, so it's natural. Yeah, natural brute beast. I think I remember reading about that. Thanks for just clarifying what the Bible's already stated. These are what we're talking about. When we're talking about dogs, we're talking about these filthy animals. Now go to Isaiah 56, because they're also, a lot of times, we're dealing with these dogs, these sodomites, that are actually in leadership positions. They are actually pastors and teachers, and I say pastors loosely, but at the same time, like, listen, the Methodist Church, what, is 50% of it a bunch of bull dykes? I'm sorry, is this too early to be preaching on this? It's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I'm at. You're like, oh, you're using crass language. Well, I'm using language people know. Yeah. Yeah. No one's going to walk out of this sermon being like, was he talking about them? And listen, I had a preacher. There's a church. There's an independent fundamental Baptist church that's in my area that I just preached a sermon against these filthy animals. And it was called Wild Beasts Among Us. Because on YouTube, you kind of have to mask it, or they'll just be like, you say sodomite, they're just like down automatically. Well, eventually got taken down. But this preacher is like preaching this whole sermon basically saying we need to love them. But he not only says that we need to love them, he's saying anybody that hates them, that sin of hating them is worse than the act of sodomy itself. Wow. That's what we're dealing with in Baptist churches today. Unbelievable. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Amen. Am I not grieved with them that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. You know what perfect means? It means complete hatred. Listen, I don't have 1 ounce of love for these people. It's complete hatred. Holistically. Now, there are also dumb dogs that cannot bark. When it comes to these shepherds that are out there. Notice what it says in Isaiah 56 and verse 10. It says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Sound like implacable to you? Incontinent? Insatiable? That's exactly what you're dealing with here. It says they are shepherds. They cannot understand, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's what you're dealing with these false teachers that we need to mark and avoid, that are not only false teachers in a lot of cases, but they're a bunch of filthy sodomites. I mean, anybody that would see a pastor or a preacher that's just like, that's an open sodomite, I mean, when you go to a church, like, I mean, you must just be like, I don't believe the Bible at all. I mean, just blind. You never made it past Genesis. But, you know, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. The term dog in the Bible, when you're talking about people, is talking about a fool. It's talking about a sodomite. It's talking about these preachers that cannot understand that they are greedy dogs. They cannot have enough. They're insatiable. They're covetous. Their damnation slumbereth not, my friends. They are dead men walking. They are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what these people are. That's what these sodomites are. And they're all going to split hell wide open. And if you want to go to a graveyard and try to win them to Christ, then go for it. You know, when people are just like, well, you know, I think that they might be able to get saved. Have fun with that. Yeah. Have fun beating your head against the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
But listen, nowadays, at least the lines being drawn in the sand when it comes to pedophiles. And listen, I haven't seen the film Sound of Freedom. But listen, I'm all about any film that is exposing pedophiles.
Right.
I'm about any movie. If someone's saying, hey, I'm gonna go capture some pedophiles and I'm gonna free some children, I'm for that person. Okay? And listen, I understand Tim Ballard is a Mormon and Jim Caviezel is a Catholic. Obviously, I'm not supporting them personally as far as what they stand for, as far as their religion. But you know what? It's interesting that the news, the media is just basically saying that they're discrediting anything when it comes to this human trafficking. They're trying to downplay it. And listen, you know what you could do with that? Mark every single person that's against it.
That's right.
Mark every single person that is against someone being against human trafficking. Or that's saying, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care if the movie was like 200% overblown of what was going on or what's really going on in the world. It doesn't matter to me. If you're against a film that's exposing that, then you're wicked.
Yeah, that's right.
And listen, there are evil people out there. Go to, we're dealing with dogs, right? Sodomites. And by the way, every sodomite is as filthy as any predator, child molester that's out there.
Yep, that's right.
Listen, they may not have done the act, but listen, if you'll sleep with a man, you'll sleep with anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of vile beasts. They're a bunch of pedophiles.
Right.
And listen, when it comes to this, you know what the Bible says in Philippians? It says, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, for many walk of whom I have told you often. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. And the idea is that it's often. And people are like, oh, why you're on that horse again, right?
That's good. Yeah.
How much more in the time when we're in right now?
Right.
Oh, it's just getting shoved down our face. I mean, how many churches do they have to try to, basically shut down, or they're trying to vandalize, and they're getting into good people's faces? Listen, these are people that are despisers of those that are good.
Yeah, exactly.
And the world is finally waking up to that, what the end game is of all these predators. And you know what? It's about time. Now, there's evil workers. Okay, evil workers. I don't know when I started on this sermon. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 4. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Now listen, if I was gonna tell people, there's people out there that are just evil. And when I say evil, I mean like there is just no good in them. Meaning this is that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and to every good work reprobate. Like they are just evil people. And in our mind, I think because we're saved and we have a conscience, we're just like, that can't be real. Like, these people can't be real. And I think that's what a lot of people, when they were seeing this film, which I can't watch it. I have 5 kids. I'm sorry. If you watched it, I'm not against you. I can't watch it. My blood pressure can't take it. Like, I would just be so angry watching that. Because, I mean, my kids are 8 and under. I mean, they are that age where they're talking about this. And it boils my blood even thinking about what the movie's about, let alone seeing it, okay? But you know what? If people are out there that are just like, you know what? I don't believe that's going on. I'm just going to put my head in the sand like an ostrich. Then you know what? Watch the film and let your blood be boiled.
Right.
Like mine is, usually when I think about this subject. But I always take people to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 14. Proverbs 4 and verse 14. What are we talking about when we're talking about beware of evil workers? Verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. So who are we talking about? The wicked and evil men, the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I want you to think about that. There's people out there that literally can't sleep unless they hurt somebody. You're like, you can't fathom that, right? You're just like, what? I mean, most people would probably be like, I can't sleep because I'm kind of in a fight with my wife, or I'm like, you know, like you're like, I need to reconcile with somebody, right? Or, you know, I had a fight with my kids, and, you know, we ended on a bad note, and that's why I can't sleep. I'm not sleeping because, man, I just didn't get to hurt anybody today. I mean, that type of level of, like, psychopathy, right? Because they're psychopaths.
Yeah.
We can't really comprehend it. But here's the thing. You don't really need to comprehend it. You just need to believe it. And I believe a lot of people that were seeing this film, they couldn't comprehend it. And then when they saw it, they're just like, this can't be true. This can't be right. Does this really happen? But you know what? We already knew it was happening. Because the Bible said it's happening. Because the Bible said these people exist. And listen, I'd rather believe it and not have to see it, personally. You know, like Thomas, it said, you know, Jesus said, thou hast seen and believed. Blessed are those that have not seen, but yet have believed. And listen, again, I'm not against you if you've seen that film, but you know what? When it comes to that, I already believe it. I don't need to see anything. Even if they're acting it out, or, you know, and I've heard that it's not even like, it's not, you know, showing anything bad or anything like that. It's just the thought of like knowing that we all know what's going on, and you're even in that mindset that stuff's going on. I just can't handle it. Yeah. But when it comes to these evil people, some would say, well, how do you know someone's a reprobate? Well, if they're a fag, they're a reprobate. Yeah. That's an easy one. But listen, there's other ways that they manifest what they are. And this verse in 2 Timothy always comes to mind when I think about this, and the fact that their folly is being made manifest. And what we see right now is because people, normal people, and I'm talking atheists, I'm talking agnostics. I go to the gym and I lift with like a Buddhist and an atheist. Obviously, I try to win them to Christ and everything, but I still work out with them. And you know what? I always, when this subject gets brought up and we're talking about this, you know what the atheist and the Buddhist and everybody says? They say they're a bunch of animals that you should put to death.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what's interesting? I have more in common with a Buddhist and an atheist at the gym than I do with an independent fundamental Baptist down the street. Is there something wrong with this picture? I'm like, are we morally more online? He's like an anarchist, you know, like, and all this stuff. And like, we're right on the same page there, because that guy still has a conscience. I hope he gets saved, you know, but in the end, you know, at least he's still got a conscience. But it says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 9, when it talks about those that are reprobate concerning the faith, it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Listen, that folly, they can hide it as much as they try to hide it, but eventually it all comes out. Isn't it interesting with the queers and all that stuff, and how that stuff just always comes out? They're like adopting children, and then it comes out what they do. And people are just like, I'm baffled. I'm shocked that happened. Like, you're an idiot. You're simple-minded. Get some knowledge. Read the Bible. Get in the church. But the sad thing is that in churches today, there aren't anybody marking these people. There are some churches that do. But listen, I'm speaking to Baptist churches out there. You need to get up and start marking these people. I mean, right now there's atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, like other people are marking them now. Now it's about time you start doing it. When the unsaved are standing up and marking these people, then I call you a coward. You're spineless, and you should step down from being a pastor. Now, mark them and beware of them that are of the concision. So let's talk about the Jews for a second. When it says, you know, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which rejoice in Christ, which worship God and rejoice in Christ Jesus in the Spirit, right? Amen. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. The concision, I believe, we're dealing with those that are circumcised, but they're circumcised just outwardly. They're not actually Jews inwardly. These are the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are the Jews of our day, right? Judaism, the rabbinic Jews. These are the ones that that I believe the Bible's saying, beware of. It says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is he is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So when it says beware of the concision, we're talking about the circumcision, but it's the circumcision of the flesh. We're dealing with those that say they're Jews and they're trusting in the law. And obviously these are not actual saved people that are circumcised in the heart. And we need to beware of them. But yet in Baptist churches, they're not marked as being rejectors of Christ and being what the Bible calls antichrist. Yeah. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist, to deny the Father and the Son. Right. There are many deceivers going out into the world that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Judaism is an antichrist religion by definition.
Right.
By definition in the Bible. Those that confess that Jesus has not come in the flesh, this is the spirit of antichrist which has come into the world, and even now already is it in the world. That spirit of antichrist, they are deceivers. But yet, we're Judeo-Christians, right? It's like, no, don't put that on me. You know, listen, there's a lot of labels that are put on us. But don't put that one on me. Take that Judeo part off there, okay? We are not Judeo-Christians, we're Christians. Because we're not to be, actually, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to mark them and avoid them, not attach ourselves to them.
That's right.
But yet today we have a bunch of Zionist Baptists out there that are yoking up with Jews. And I mean, out of all the religions out there, it's the most blasphemous.
Yeah, it really is.
Judaism is the one that says that Jesus is in hell right now in hot excrement, and that he was a blasphemer and just a lot of stuff that the Talmud says about Jesus. And ultimately they all deny that Jesus is the Christ. They say that he was a troublemaker and he got what he deserved. That's what the Jews teach. But they're God's chosen people, right? That's the false doctrine that's out there. And you know what? It gets into Baptist Judaizing their congregation. And then it gets into even weirder stuff with like Hebrew root stuff and all this other garbage. Okay? But when it comes to this, the Bible's very clear on this. They're actually the synagogue of Satan. The Bible says they say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. They're the synagogue of Satan. And the Bible says, beware of them. Is it any marvel that the most famous dealing with the Sound of Freedom film that's out there, clip of people denouncing it is on CNN. Shocker.
Right.
CNN. And then there's some guy that's speaking against it, and his last name is Rothschild.
Yeah.
Now... I didn't look up if he was a Jew. But with that last name,
yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's no marvel. And the last thing I want to mention here is that the Bible calls people out by name, whether they're saved, whether they're not saved. And there are cases here that when people say, well, you know, you call them out, but why do you have to call them out by name? Well, let me just read. I'm just going to go through this tour de force real quick here, and then I'll be done. But the thing that you need to understand is that we do need to mark people.
Yeah.
And we need to mark people so that the simple will beware. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes these false prophets need to be verbally smited from the pulpit. And you know what? Even sometimes Christians need to be verbally smited from the pulpit because the simple will beware. Think about someone that commits adultery or someone that does some wicked sin. Listen, and if that person's just proud about it and doesn't want to, listen, they need to be verbally, chastised so that other will beware and they won't do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou be by them mightest war good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So Hymenaeus and Alexander, they're written forever in the Word of God.
Yeah.
By name. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, these are in order if you want to follow. 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, it says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. By the way, these are pastoral epistles that I'm reading to you right now. And Paul is pointing this out to a pastor who I believe is also to point this out to his congregation. Now it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Now, that might be the same person that we saw in 1 Timothy, and he's being called out for something else, but it says, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." So we have preterists all the way back in 2 Timothy, and Hymenaeus and Philetus were the first preterists. I don't know if they were the first, but 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, some of these, I believe Demas is a saved person, but it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." So, I mean, Demas, later on, I believe Demas redeems himself, kind of like Mark does. John Mark does, where he redeems himself and he's profitable for the ministry. I believe Demas does the same thing, but in this case, Demas forsook him, loving this present world. Down in verse 14, it says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." You're like, man, Paul. Maybe he was in the flesh when he wrote that, right? I've heard people say stupid things like that about like David, you know, in Psalms. Like Psalm 139, he was in the flesh. It's like, yeah, when he was, fearfully and wonderfully made, that's the Spirit of God right there. But get a little further down to that Psalm, you're like, he's starting to dip into the flesh. 3 John, last one I'm going to show you here. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Notice that he not only calls out these people, but he calls out why he's calling them out. He makes it clear, I'm calling them out because he's casting people out of the church, he's speaking evil, he's prating about us. This is John stating that. And so when it comes to marking those, whether you're dealing with damnable heretics or whether you're dealing with saved people, it's biblical.
Yeah.
And I believe as pastors, we should be marking people. And you say, well, you know, how often? Well, Paul said he did it often. And not only did he did it often, but he did it with compassion. Meaning this is that he did it weeping. And so we're not just calling out people because, you know, we got an axe to grind or anything like that. We're calling out people because we care, and we want you to be aware of that. Care about the flock. We don't want our flock to be divided, and so we're calling it out for a reason. And you know what? I don't like talking about sodomites, just to be honest with you. They're disgusting creatures. But unfortunately, it's the world we live in, and we have to say what needs to be said, you know? Praise the Lord, in heaven we won't have to deal with them, and we'll no longer have to talk about them, because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, "For without are dogs." And by the way, that's the lake of fire. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for everybody that's come out. Lord, just pray that you'd help us to know good doctrine and to be able to mark evil people and people that would be contrary to good doctrine. And Lord, be with all the pastors here. Be with those that are about to preach. And Lord, just thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.